Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Let us pray. Lord God, our Heavenly Father, may the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts be pleasing to you, our Rock and our Redeemer, in the name of Jesus. Amen. Brothers and sisters in Christ, and August, well, he looked up there real fast, that was funny. Congratulations, the kingdom of God is yours. The kingdom of God is yours. I love the words we heard in Revelation today, a beautiful depiction of what heaven looks like, right? And of course, of God's kingdom is much bigger than that. It's something that encompasses everything. It encompasses the here and the now and what comes before us in heaven. But think about the beauty that God has given his kingdom to us. And so today we celebrate confirmation. I'll tell you a little story. It was my first congregation. And, I was not that long out of the seminary, and like most people out of a professional field, when they get into the field, they think they know everything. You know how that goes, right? Yeah. My wife would argue I still think I know everything, and she's right. So I was standing shaking hands at the end of the service, and a young man, probably in his 20s, had been visiting with us for a while. He said, Pastor, I grew up Lutheran, and I would like to start taking communion at church. Do I have to be a member? I said, no. And he goes, well, I wasn't confirmed. And I said, well, that's okay. You can still take communion. I said, confirmation, you don't have to be confirmed to go to heaven. And all of a sudden, I heard this gasp. And I thought for sure somebody was having a heart attack. I mean, if we had those pads like we do here that shock people, I thought for sure we'd have to get those. And the next thing I knew, I look and there was this little old lady, kind little old lady, behind this man with this horrified look on her face saying, what do you mean you don't have to be confirmed to go to heaven? Well, you don't have to be confirmed to go to heaven. What is confirmation and where did it come from? That's a good question to talk about, don't you think? Well, first of all, let me get this point across to you. Confirmation is absolutely man-made. It is not a sacrament. It is not something the Bible says we have to do. It was strictly man-made, made up by the church for a reason. But its history starts rooted in the Catholic Church, where it did start as a sacrament. You see, back in the old days, Luther's time, and even after Luther's time, and before Luther's time, the only person who could really confirm and make sure that a baptism was real was a bishop. Well, as you know, most bishops had several churches under their auspices. And so local churches still had to do baptisms. I mean, it was very common the day the baby was born. In those days, the baby would be baptized even right after its birth because diseases ran rampant and all of those things. And to give comfort to the family, the babies would be baptized right in their homes where they gave birth. But the baptism was unofficially official until the day that the bishop rode into town to do the confirmation ceremony once a year. And everybody who had been baptized that previous year would be brought forth to the altar, and the bishop would go around and mark a sign on their forehead and on their heart of the cross and confirm that they had been baptized into the Lord. That's how it started. So it was a reaffirming of the baptismal vows. Well, for us as Lutherans, we kind of dropped that along the way and said, that's hogwash. Baptism isn't about us or our power. It's God's work, right? He's the one who claims us in baptism. He's the one who washes away our sin. It's all about his work. We don't have to confirm anything. We don't at all. It's all about the gracious work of God loving us in and through the waters of holy baptism, washing our sins away and declaring us forgiven and making us his children and heirs to his kingdom forever. It doesn't take any bishop or anybody else special to do it. In fact, Luther says, in an emergency situation, anybody, in any situation, anybody can baptize. In fact, he even says, if you don't have water, you can use spit. Thank God we have plenty of water at church. But that's how important baptism is and focuses on the work of God. Over the years, baptism has become something confirmation has become something man-made. Unfortunately, as the years went on, something started happening in cultures and societies, especially at the late 1800s into the 1900s and rapidly growing through the 1900s and now into the 2000s. It's interesting if you look at the Small Catechism. Does anybody remember what the very first page says of the Small Catechism? Anybody? How the head of the household should teach his family. Now, it's interesting today what we saw in the book of Acts. Lydia must have been acting as the head of the household after she was baptized, because she went home and her whole house was baptized following her lead and learned the gospel. And that's how it's intended to do. If you remember all the way back in Deuteronomy, God commands us and he says, you impress on your children the things that I have taught you. Write it on the doorpost. Seal it on their hearts, what I have taught you, that it may go well with them in the land of the living. All throughout the New Testament, as person after person came to faith, usually the head of the household, the man, would teach them and raise them up in the ways of God, teaching them the ways of the Lord and the gospel, the power of his message. But something happened in culture and society. It shifted. Remember last week, that bridge? I mean, remember it. That bridge that we had on the screen, and the water was over there and the bridge was over there. Culture shifts, right? And so the church all of a sudden found itself in a strange place. Families aren't teaching Christianity at home anymore. So the church had to fill that void, which is not a bad thing. Nobody complains about that, but it's kind of a sad thing. I believe many of the problems we have today is the breakdown of the family unit, not teaching Christ in the home and keeping Christ as the central focus in our houses. Saying, that's why we hire pastors and DCEs and church workers. They can do the teaching. Confirmation has become a rite of the church, an expectation given to the church that we carry out for you. In reality, confirmation isn't a rite. It's not even a privilege. And today, in most churches, confirmation is seen as a graduation. I've graduated from Sunday school and I've become an adult. And statistically, we know that in churches who do confirmation, 80% of the children who are confirmed never come back to church, at least until, guess what? When they have babies and it's time for them to return back to the church. Interesting statistic, isn't that? I think a lot of it has to do with the way we do confirmation. We throw all this stuff at kids and we say, you have to memorize this and you have to do this. And if you don't know this, well, then you're not a good Christian. How many of you heard that at confirmation? I did. That's the kind of confirmation I grew up in. And it was hogwash, because I crammed or memorized everything, and 2 days later, I forgot it all. Isn't that what happens? It's true. You see, one of the things that I value about confirmation, one of the things that Stephanie and I have done over the years, is developed a curriculum that isn't based upon memorizing things. Sure, if you want to memorize it, you can. And we tell the parents it's their responsibility if their kids want to memorize it. They have that choice. But I think there's something so much more important in confirmation that the church has missed. Sure, they need to know what it means to be Lutheran. But more importantly, they need to learn who Jesus is and what he's done for them. Think of the impact that our children have as they grow in confirmation in Jesus Christ. They grow in relationship with him, knowing what Jesus has done for them and knowing how to share their faith with the world around them. What's more important? The rite, the man-made privilege the Church of Confirmation has made it today? Or the fact that our young people are able to go out with the love of Jesus and share their faith? I hope unilaterally you would agree with me and with what the church movement is trying to do in making confirmation more about sharing their faith and rejoicing in what Christ has done for them. Making disciples of all nations. Remember the Great Commission? It says, go and baptize all nations in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And then what? Teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. What does Christ teach us? Love one another as I have loved you. Lay down your life for those around you. Be humble. Be pure. Share my name. Be my presence to a world who needs you. How much more is confirmation when we take the time to teach our young people what love is really about and the impact that they have in their schools, in their culture, and in their community. You see, we miss the point. Baptism is, confirmation is really all about our baptism. And in our baptism, God shows his love for us. In baptism, God comes down by the power of his Holy Spirit and removes our sin, washes them away, removes them as far as the east is from the west. And in baptism, he promises, I love you so much that I will never see your sins again. In baptism, he takes our sinfulness onto himself and gives us his righteousness so that when he sees us as his perfect and redeemed children. In baptism, God says, I love you more than anything else in all creation. In baptism, he gives us his very kingdom and makes us heirs to his kingdom with Christ. That's how important we are to him. In baptism, he gives us everything. He gives us everything in all creation. He wraps his arms around us. He wipes away our past. He is with us in our present, and he gives us a brand new future filled with hope and assurance that we will be with him forever. In baptism, God is your greatest lover, your greatest friend, your refuge, your rock, and your salvation. In baptism, God gives you the kingdom. There's something else important that comes from baptism that we need to understand, and that's our identity. Our identity comes in baptism. This world, as I study for my master's in counseling, let me tell you, one of the main issues that people have in our world today is they don't know who they are. They don't know their identity. We live in a world that likes to place our identity on people. After all, you'll hear people say, I'm a Democrat or Republican. No, you're not. That's not your identity. I'm pro-life or pro-choice. That's not your identity. I'm LGBTQ. That's not your identity. I'm a bad husband, a bad father. That's not your identity. I'm not a good mother. That's not your identity. You kind of catch the drift? Our identity is child of God. Our identity has been given to us in baptism where God says, you are my child. When we come at life looking at the identity being from Christ, it gives us a foundation in which to build our lives upon. You see, when we allow society around us to build our identity, when we allow the world around us to build our identity, we are nothing but failures because we will never stand up to what society wants us to be. And that's where shame comes in. And that's where Satan says you're a bad person and doubt enters in and all of that garbage that Satan wants to pile upon you. Jesus has come to take that away. He's come to take that away in his death and resurrection. He's come to take that away in baptism as he marks you as one redeemed by Christ the crucified and says, you are now God's child. And what that means is that your identity is secure. And as God's child, you are holy and dearly loved, you are forgiven, and you are perfect in his eyes. So therefore, when I mess up being a parent, when I mess up being a child, when I mess up fill in the blank, I know that God's mercy and grace is new to me every second of every day, and that in his forgiveness, in his love, in his life, by his baptismal waters, I can pick myself up, wash myself clean as he already has, hold my head high, and rejoice in being a child of God. That has been given second and third and fourth and a millionth chances in this world. Do you see the difference? If we allow the outside to tell us our identity, we are nothing but miserable, rotten failures because this world belongs to Satan. But when baptism affirms our identity, gives us our identity, pours out upon us the name Child of God, life is renewed and restored and filled with hope every day so that we may live as the rejoicing people of God. You see, baptism is a celebration of who we are, children of God. Baptism is a celebration of whose we are, children of God. Baptism is a celebration of what has been done for us, the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ. Baptism is a celebration of life and death and life again. Because in baptism, St. Paul says, we die with Christ. The old Adam dies, our sinful nature dies, and it rises with Christ. But then, oh, wait a minute. One day we're going to die again, but we're going to rise again because of Christ. Baptism is a celebration of life and death and life. And life is what we have because of Christ, and that life cannot be taken from us. It is sealed on the cross and sealed in the empty tomb, and we rejoice in that through the faith that God gives us in baptism every day. And in baptism, we are called to be that life and love of Jesus in the world around us. Now I'm going to come over here for a minute. When I have people confirmed, as you know, well, I don't know what happened to it. I had a picture up here of August. Somebody already took it. They're going to get it. Okay. So I have my confirmands do a little project, right? Because what I care about, yes, thank you. If you bring it up, and then we'll take it back to where the cake is. When I do confirmation, the most important thing for me, when these kids are done, is they can tell me what Jesus means to them. I don't care if they have the explanations memorized to the article and the creed and all of that, the creed and the Ten Commandments. But if they can tell me what Jesus means to them and why, I think that's highly important. So they do a project, and August did an art project, and it is beautiful. It's pencil drawn, and in this project, this will be out in the reception next to the cake. You can take a look at this after the service. It says, "He is risen. Death could not hold him. Rejoice in the resurrection of Jesus Christ." Now think about that for a second. Here's August, soon to be ninth grader, just finishing up eighth grade, or did finish eighth grade. What a powerful statement of faith, isn't it? We've talked a couple weeks ago about how hard we make faith, and last week we talked about sometimes we make life harder than it is. This is simple. Life is about the risen Jesus, who enters our life by virtue of baptism, who forgives our sins and gives us the gift of heaven, who has made us heirs to the kingdom with him. You see, that's what baptism is all about, and confirmation too. And today, as we celebrate confirmation, I say to each and every one of you, congratulations. The kingdom of heaven is yours forever. Amen.